I just got to tell you that Donnie alluded to it, but I'm going to reiterate it, that Renita and I were so proud last week, just almost overwhelmed by everything that God had done. And watching that slideshow, like I'd seen the pictures, we'd put the pictures up, but seeing it all in total and having everybody with us, it was, I've described it this way, and some of you will get it, some of you won't. But I had a Steve Urkel moment. Did I do that? You know, I mean, and really, did God do that through us? And it's just so awesome. So awesome. Paul said it this way, you're my crown. You know, you're my crown. You're the very things that I present before God, and God says, you had an effect on them. Right? And again, it's the Holy Spirit through me. I'm not taking any of the credit, the glory. He gets it. But I will say this. I will say that God sent me here today to speak to you. I am God's voice on the earth to you. It's all about Him and all who He's in me, right? But He wants you to know that He loves you. You say, He can't love me. He does love you. But He can't. You don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what's happened in my life. You're no better or worse than anybody else sitting in the room. Because Jesus came and He paid the price for you to be forgiven. Isn't that awesome? That's good news. That's good news. I love the line in the song that says, Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Amen. How many can say that that might have an application in your life somehow, some way? That Satan had me bound, whether it was depression, whether it was, you know, abuse, whatever. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Amen. This year is so exciting. Donnie talked about Wednesday nights, and the way I describe Wednesday night is that we're contending for healing. In other words, we believe that God wants to heal people. We believe it's His will, and we're going to contend for it. If we're not seeing it, we're going to keep praying. If we're not seeing it, we're going to keep fighting. We're going to keep going because I believe God wants His people healed. Amen. If Jesus was here, He'd be the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when He was here, it said He healed all who were oppressed of the devil, right? All means all, right? So that's what we're shooting for. Glory to God. God is good. And then on Sunday morning for the rest, well, until God has us change it, but we're going to talk about who we are in Christ. And more importantly, who Christ is in us. Did you know that He lives in you? Yes. Who, me? Yes, you. If Jesus is Lord of your life, Jesus said it this way when He was praying to the Father. He said, Father, I pray not only for these, but those who will know of me through their word, that they would be one as we are one. You and me, and come on, and them and us, and we're all in this together because He's in us. Isn't that just awesome? Isn't that awesome? That's true for you. That's true for me. Glory to God. If you'll turn with me, and this is the keynote scripture of this month's series, we're going to talk about the righteousness of God. But here's the deal, and we're gonna preach. Well, let's read it, and then I'll go on. Verse 21, it says, "For He made Him," talking about Jesus, "who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." Amen. He made Him to be no sin, and we're going to talk about that. I want to read this out of the Amplified. He made Christ, who knew no sin, to judicially be sin on our behalf, so that in Him we would become the righteousness of God. That is, that we would be made acceptable to Him and placed in a right relationship with Him by His gracious loving kindness. Isn't that something? I mean, many people have talked about what is righteousness, and Webster defines it as holy or living up to the moral code or the moral law, right? And so righteousness is living in right standing with God. Righteousness is, I'm right with God. Remember the Doobie Brothers song? Right. Jesus is just all right with me, right? No, the reality is I'm all right with Jesus. And it's because, watch this, it's because he who knew no sin, he who was a perfect, spotless lamb, talking about Jesus, became sin. That meant that he took on my sin. Every sin that you've ever committed, every sin that you're going to commit, every sin in the whole world, Jesus took on himself. That's an incredible thing. And to think about that, and I've shared this before, when I saw the movie The Passion of the Christ, and I saw him take that horrific beating, and I saw him on the cross, and I came away from that movie with this in mind. He did that because I did what I did. He did that, and I put him there.
Come on.
Right? But that's not the truth. I did what I did, but he went there because he loved me. It's love that put him on the cross. It's love that makes him reach out to you this morning. It's love that he wants you to know that he took your sins that you might become the righteousness of God in him. It's a great exchange. He took my sin, I take his righteousness. In other words, just as Jesus is right with God, I'm right with God. That's an amazing statement. It's something we can ponder for the rest of the days. But oftentimes what we do is we know that, but we never wear that. Just put it up on the screen, but Romans 13, 14. Can you put that up there? Romans 13, 14. That's not the right one. We had a Janine moment. but anyway, watch this. There we go. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. We have to put on Christ. We have to put on. What does that mean? I need to have my thinking that Jesus is in me today. Jesus is going with me today. I'm going to live for Jesus today. I'm going to live my life for Jesus. Did you know that you can't live righteously before God in your own effort? You can't pray enough, you can't fast enough, you can't believe enough, you can't do anything that would make it so that you were accepted by God on your merits. That's what grace is all about. Grace is, you can't do it, but I've done it for you. The righteousness of God. I want to go back to the Old Testament and go through a story, and then I'm going to relate it to this. But if you'll go with me to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. And we're going to start in verse 1. Very familiar story. Many of you will recognize this as soon as we start reading. And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And then Elijah went to Elisha and said, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as our soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophet who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you not know that the Lord will take away your master from you today?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." I like that. And then Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophet who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you not know that the Lord will take away your master over you today? And so he answered, yes, I know. Keep silent. I just love his tenacity. So he had a school of prophets from two different places say, don't you know? God's revealed to us. He's taken today. And Elisha said, silence. I don't want to hear anything because I have one single purpose. One single purpose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, which verse was I? Six. Very good. All right. And then Elijah said to him, stay here, please, for the Lord sent me on to Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives and his soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophet went and stood facing them in a distance while there were two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the waters, and it divided this way and that so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I may do for you before I am taken away from you. And Elisha said, please, let a double portion of your spirit fall upon me. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it will not be so. And then it happened as they continued on that and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared and the horses of fire and appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up in the whirlwind into heaven, and Elijah saw it and cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen. So he saw him no more, and he took a hold of him, his own clothes, tore them into pieces. And he also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and he went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Look at this. Get this picture. Just think about the fire whirlwind going up, and Elijah is taken up. But something dropped. Watch this. But what did Elisha have to do? He had to take off his clothes, what he was wearing, and he had to put on what Elijah was wearing. See, we have to do the same thing. We have to put off our worthiness. We have to put off our holiness. We have to put off everything that we think that we can do or need to do to come into God's presence. We have to take that off and put on the very mantle that Jesus carried. It's not something. He who knew no sin became sin for me, that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I love Elisha's tenacity. And we must have that same kind of tenacity. Lord, I'm not going to let religion keep me away from it. I'm not going to let anybody else's opinion keep me away from it. I'm not going to let anything in my past keep me away from it. I refuse to be less than what you've called me to do. I see Jesus, and I see my life hidden in Him. I am. Not that I did it, but I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He made Him to be sin so that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's not who I'm trying to be. That's not who I'm praying enough to be. That's not who I'm fasting enough to be. That's not who I'm doing good works enough to be. Because all of my righteousness, the Bible says, is like filthy rags. And actually in the Hebrew it's much more descriptive. I'm not going to go there, but it's much more descriptive. In other words, everything I do, every religious leader that came to Jesus and thought they were really holy, their righteousness or their ability to stand before God holy was as filthy rags. And that was the clothes that they were wearing. That's the clothes that you and I war before Christ. But once we came to Christ, we took off that robe and put on the robe that He wore and that He wears. What does that mean? Just as He is seated at the right hand of the Father, so am I. Because when I go before the Father, I'm not going in my righteousness. I'm going in His righteousness. I have a right to stand before God because He took my sin out of the way. It's no longer an equation in the equation. Don't you love the picture that when Jesus died, it said in the temple. And you know how big this curtain was? It was huge. It was thick. It was heavy. But the curtain was ripped that kept people out of the Holy of Holies. It was ripped from top to bottom. That means man didn't do it, God did it. And God ripped that thing in two so that you are all welcomed in my presence anytime that you want to come. Because I don't see you in you anymore. I see you in Christ. Whew, glory to God. He who knew no sin became sin on my behalf that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That should change how we come to God. That should change how we view ourselves in God. Many of you, like me, have messed up. I can tell you that once I got in a relationship with the Lord, I haven't been perfect. It's hard to believe, I know. But watch this. I haven't been perfect. But His blood applied. Those songs today, I mean, my gosh, we just listen to those. We could get so thrilled we just run around the room. The blood has been applied to my heart. The blood that Jesus spilt for me has been applied to me. That's so good. I'm washed in the blood. I'm washed in the blood. What does that mean? He sees me through the blood. Hallelujah. Go with me to Romans chapter 1. The book of Romans chapter 1. It's so wonderful. It's so simple that we need to put religion on to miss it. And we often do. Why? Because we are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But then we think, if I only do this, I'll be better. Right? I thought, well, listen, if I only pray enough. When I first got saved, this is what I thought. I got saved and fell in love with Jesus. I'd heard about Jesus my whole life. Grew up in a church. But when I made Him the Lord of my life, it changed everything. He was no longer my dad's Jesus. He was no longer my anybody else's Jesus. He was my Jesus because I came in a personal relationship with Him. So cool. But when I first got saved, I went, wow. And then I started looking at people and going, you've been saved for a year? You must really know Him. And then if you've been saved, if you'd known Him for 5 years, wow, you must really know Him. And if you got saved for 20 years or 30 years, I went, oh, oh. But that thinking was totally wrong. Because I thought time and effort would bring you closer. The reality is the blood was enough. And the moment that I gave my heart to Jesus and took Him as the Messiah, I got as close to God as I'm ever going to get.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory to God. I mean, we mess up and we have the, you know, the privilege of going and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. I want You more than I want my sin. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, it says this, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek. Incredible verse. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of each one of us. If Jesus is Lord of your life, I got to get that into you, that the righteousness of God makes it absolutely true that Jesus and the power that raised him from the dead dwells in the inside of us. Why is the power that raised him from the dead such a big deal? It's because when he was raised from the dead, it proved to all of heaven, all of earth, all of hell, that the sacrifice that he paid, that he was the sinless, spotless lamb. And that because he was raised from the dead, it means that I am now justified before God because of his atoning sacrifice. Glory to God. I am right with God. Look at this, verse 17. It says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." What does that mean? That means this. What I need is to believe what he said. I need to act like what he said is true. How does that apply to me? That's taking the mantle off of self-righteousness and putting on the mantle of his righteousness.
Thank you, Lord. Glory.
Evie had a song years ago, when I first got saved. "Clean before the Lord I stand, and in me not one blemish does he see." I don't know about you, but I wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and, right? I think about what I did yesterday or I did last week or did 10 years ago, and there's blemishes there. And if I allow myself, I'm going to see myself through that lens. But God says, that's not the lens I want you to see through anymore. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I've told you this story before, but I just so bears witness to where we are right here. There was a woman, she got saved. And she'd been a drug addict, in prostitution, all those things. She got gloriously saved and been coming to a church for a while. And she was just, you know, getting in, discipled, and just loving and falling in love with Jesus. And the pastor's son started to like her, fell in love with her, and announced that they were going to get married. But the board said, oh no, we know that this young man is called, and we want the right woman for him. And we don't want his ministry to be tainted by that woman. That woman. And so they're having this big board meeting, and the son came in as they're having the pastor, and the son just says, "I just have one question for you. Just one question for you." I said, "Well, what is it?" I said, "Isn't the blood enough? Isn't the blood enough?" And the reality is, and the truth is, yes, it is. It was for her, it was for me, and it is for you. Yes. "He who knew no sin became sin, that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." Go to chapter 3. Actually, if you can read the first 6 or 7 chapters of the book of Romans and think about, "He made me righteousness." And think of it from the standpoint that because I'm in Christ, the righteousness of God applies to me. It changes everything. If you're still of the opinion, "Well, I'm wearing this cloth, to this mantle today, and that mantle tomorrow, and then this mantle and that mantle," it'll confuse you. But once you say, "I took off of that and I'm wearing this," it makes everything come clearer. So good. It's so good. It's so good. Chapter 3 and verse 21. "Now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ on all who believe." I love that. for there's no difference. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What's that mean? Everybody needs Jesus. But Jesus is available to everybody.
Thank you, Lord.
You don't have to get good enough. Right? Some people say, well, you know, I'll come to Jesus when I clean up. I'll come to Jesus when I quit using this language. I'll come to Jesus when my life is over and, you know, I get slighted. No. Forget all of that. Come to Jesus today. I did it many, many, many years ago, right? And I was at the point in my life where I didn't even know if God existed. But He sent somebody to tell me about Him. And I gave my heart to Him. And I've been changed ever since. Why? Because that day, I took on His righteousness. I took on His justification. I took on His holiness. And He's made Himself real to me ever since. Go to chapter 4 and verse 25. It says, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised up because of our justification. See, Jesus suffered because of what we've all done. But it really even goes back further, and we're going to see this in a little later. Just as all mankind has been under the curse of what Adam did. And the fact that you know, strife and evil and everything that's going on because Adam gave himself to Satan by agreeing with him. Just as that curse is over creation. Watch this. As I'm in Christ Jesus, that righteousness has obliterated all of that in my life. I'm walking in the freedom that He paid for.
Thank you, Lord.
Right? I can't earn it, but I receive it by faith. Thank you, Lord. I don't always feel it. I don't always, you know, there's days when, you know, depression or whatever starts to come in and things happen in life and we go through, you know, divorces, we go through losing loved ones, we go through all kinds of separations and maybe jobs so we don't feel it. But feeling has nothing to do with the reality of it. The reality of it is accessed by faith and believing. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, me, to Him belong. It's so true. It's so true. He will never leave me nor forsake me. You getting anything this morning? Come on. Come on, come on, come on. All right, go to chapter 5 and verse 17. There's more to come. I'm so excited about this. Because it's a reality to me. And it's becoming more real. And more real. And more real. Verse 17 says, for if by one man's offense death reigned through one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through Christ Jesus. Will reign in... See, this term is from a kingdom standpoint. What does that mean? That means when a king has a kingdom and they put up the scepter, right? That says that all of the kingdom is behind the edict that's placed from the king or the royalty onto the subjects. This says, because of one man's offense, death reigned. But much more now, the abundance of grace. I like that term, don't you? How many need grace? Renita gives me grace all the time. I need it, right? But watch this. God gave me this grace. What does grace mean? Grace means I don't deserve it, but He gave it anyway. right? God's abundance, right? Gave it to me anyway. The abundance of God's grace and the gift of righteousness, we will reign in life through one Christ Jesus. What does that mean? I can get up today when I leave here and reign in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And sometimes reigning is speaking what's true rather than what you feel. Is believing what's true rather than what you see. It's acting like what he said is true, even though you don't feel it. Right? When I pray for people, it's important that I understand and that you understand that when I pray for you or you pray for somebody else, you're not praying through the mantle of your righteousness. You're praying from the mantle of his righteousness. Well, what does that mean? He wants us to represent him. He told us to lay hands on the sick and they would recover. He told us that when demons come knocking, we can get them out. Right? He said that. He said that we could bring somebody who was so far out that they were impossible, bring them through the blood of Jesus and have them transformed before our very eyes. I've been in ministry for a long time now. I've seen it happen over and over and over and over again. But I'm convinced of this. We haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen anything yet. I even feel in my spirit like the beginning of the year, this year, 2025, like there's a switch that was opened and there's a door that's opened where Jesus is going to start showing himself to the people that have been arguing against him for so long. Because they're just in deception. They're not bad people, just in deception. But what I'm saying is he's going to do that through us. He's not going to do that through your religious thinking about how people should be. He's going to do it through your heart of compassion that's tied to his righteousness. That says, listen, there's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing impossible with God. Yeah, that sounds tough, but Jesus is able to make his abundance known to you.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
You and me are his representatives. Here this morning, you and I, when we come up for prayer, it's Jesus. Come on. It's Jesus that's praying for you. It's Jesus that's touching you because we're his representatives. Not because I'm a pastor. Not because of my gifting or office that I stand in. It's because of my position in Christ Jesus. I'm reigning in Christ, in life through Christ Jesus. I am, watch this, I am enforcing his reign through the word of God and the power of God into the earth right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. If I could have the worship team come up, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word today. All those that are watching online, I thank you for viewing today. Listen, I just need to tell you, and I need to tell everybody that's in the room, Jesus loves you. Jesus is here for you. And some of us have walked away from God, or we just, you know, thought, well, you know, I'm just going to walk away. He still loves me, but I'm not going to walk with him anymore. Listen, it's time for you to just come home. But if you've never prayed a prayer, a simple prayer like this, I know I've sinned. I know I've fallen short. I know that I can never be good enough to be with God. So I need a Savior. I need the Messiah. I need Jesus to really do what he said he did and to take my sin. So even this morning, if you'll just commit your heart to Jesus, if you'll say with your mouth and confess with your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God did raise him from the dead, then he'll come and put his righteousness in you. If you're here this morning and that's speaking to your heart, and how do you know it's speaking to your heart? Even right now, there's something on the inside of you that wants to respond to this. Don't let anything else stop you. Just give your heart to Him right now. Then come up and let us pray for you, because God is in the room and He wants to touch you. Yes, He'll heal your body. Yes, He'll give you answers to your problems. But the main thing that He wants is your heart to be in His heart, so you'll spend eternity with Him. So come to Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. We're going to worship with